And our gospel reading continues with this story, beginning at the 38th verse of the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, this is weird. Not that we're meeting like this, but that's weird. But that here, in the middle of this pandemic, we're reading the story of the raising of Lazarus. What has spoken to me the most as I've read and reread this story this week is that everybody in this story had different emotions, different kinds of feelings, new experiences for good or for ill that they had not imagined having. And I find it compelling in this time of sheltering in place, of not going out, which is really hard, to think that other people have had the same thoughts and feelings that people in Jesus' day had about Lazarus. So I thought it might be helpful for us to look at some of these emotions and things people said in this very important Bible story and see what we can learn about our lives in this moment. First, it's important to note that Lazarus and Martha and Mary are described as dear friends of Jesus. We think of the friends of Jesus as maybe being his disciples, but Jesus had other friends too, and Jesus loved his friends. You can see that in his actions in this story. And then you see the disciples, and we didn't really read a lot of this part, when Jesus says, "I'm going because Lazarus has died," the disciples said, "The last time you were in that town, they tried to kill you, Jesus. Please, don't go back there." They were really protective of Jesus. They wanted him to be safe. And then we see the pragmatism of Jesus' response to this protection that they needed. He needed to go. He needed to be with his friend in this time. And Jesus says, "I'm glad I wasn't there." Jesus was glad that he wasn't there when Lazarus died. Not because he wouldn't have wanted to handle the emotions of Lazarus dying, but because he knew that he was going to be able to do something that would make people believe in him. I think it's really important to notice that people consoled Mary and Martha. When Jesus finally got there, their friends were around them to let them know that they were loved and that they weren't alone. And Mary, she is filled with both honesty and doubt, and so is Martha. They both, neither of them, think of the possibility, I wouldn't have either, that Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. No, instead they both say to him, "Lord, if only you had been here, maybe he wouldn't have died." They're in despair. They're in disappointment. Jesus, the Bible tells us, was angry. Jesus was angry at the death of his friend. He was angry at the loss of his dear friend. And Jesus was troubled, the Gospel of John tells us, as we all are when things are happening that we can't control. I'll talk a little bit more about that. But the beauty in this text is also that the Bible tells us that Jesus wept. Isn't that an amazing image? We don't picture Jesus as having deep emotions, either laughter or crying, but Jesus was fully human and fully God. And so he had all the feelings that you and I have in a time of sorrow and loss. And finally, Jesus was grateful to his Father for listening to him, and he knew that the Father was going to call Lazarus back from the dead. I think this tells us something about our range of responses to the COVID-19 virus. First of all, we are so protective of each other. If you could see in the sanctuary right now, there are probably 8 of us, and we are many more feet than 6 feet apart. And I read a great meme on Facebook this week that said, "Don't change your behavior because you might get the virus. Change and act as though you have it and you don't want to infect other people." Our protectiveness for one another and for our families is keeping us safe, but our behavior is also keeping them safe. There's frustration, as there was for Jesus and the disciples, with our situation. I told Pastor Bruce this morning, I'm an introvert on every personality scale there is. I love to be by myself, except that after a week of being by myself, I am so over it. I think that for those of you who need a bunch of other people to fill your emotional energy level, it must be like torture right now. And I think it's okay to acknowledge that this is really a hard time. This is a time when we don't get to do what we want. I went to the grocery store because I had a few things I needed before the shelter-in-place order, and it was so empty, and people stood so far apart, and I so badly wanted to just reach out and hug somebody. One of our members posted this week that they miss hugging people, and what I said to her on Facebook, I say to you, when you think of someone you wish you could hug, give yourself a hug. And say their name. I would say the name of my mom. And then tell them by a Facebook message or an email or even better, a phone call, that you just hugged them the best that you could. We're busy as Jesus and the disciples were consoling and comforting one another. We are at our best as humans when we're able to turn outward from looking at what I need and what I have to looking to what others need and what they have. And right now, in our varieties of responses to this illness and to the shelter-in-place order, we have the chance to comfort and care for one another. Just like Jesus, we are angry. Our plans have had to change. I think about all of the high school seniors and college seniors who are missing their commencement this year. I want you to know our hearts here are going out to you as we recognize how hard it is to have had to walk away without a goodbye from the experience of your senior year. We're so sorry this happened to you. And it's okay for you to be sad and angry and have broken hearts. This week, we invited some of you who love to sew to make face masks. And on Thursday, I brought probably 75 face masks down to Mercy Hospital. I'll be bringing some more up to Cambridge Hospital tomorrow. I want to thank those of you who are looking for something to do and have the gift of sewing, because this is a tremendous gift for us to give. And Mercy Hospital has a tent set up in front of the clinic. And you just drive up, and they hold out a box, and you drop the masks in, and they write down your name and your phone number so they know they came from our Saviors. The things that we can find to do for each other are not only good for the other, but they're good for us. It keeps us from sitting at home and simply imagining how upset we are. Anything that turns us outward toward each other is a good thing right now. Finally, I want to say this text calls us to honesty and even to doubt. Why didn't God prevent this? Why isn't God stopping this? Why are people dying? I think most of us have asked those questions in the last week or two. And here's the deal. I think they're good questions, but I think they're the wrong questions. Because the world is a broken place. And things happen. Things just happen in the world. But the right question, I think, is how do we cooperate with God to prevent the spread of this virus? How do we help and support one another? The world is broken. And these things challenge our faith, and they challenge our thinking. But the thing to remember is that at the core, God loves us, and God calls us to love one another. We are not useless, helpless, solitary individuals. We're online right now together because we're a community of faith, a community of invitation, of hope, of love, and a place to belong. We have ways to reach out to each other, just like Jesus reached out to Mary and Martha. What does this pandemic call forth from us? It calls for love, compassion, gratitude, faithfulness, hope, forbearance, tolerance of differences. This week, as you work your way into a new and temporary way of being, I invite you to remember the emotions of the story of Lazarus and to feel free to claim those as your own at the same time that you allow God to wrap you in the love of God's presence. Amen.
Amen.